What did you see in terms of side effects and toxicity when you combine the CAPOX and the intrahepatic FUDR?
The main thing that we were seeing tended to be that as patients completed the FUDR infusion, had a 1 week rest, and then went on to capecitabine oxaliplatin, we had a little bit of a bump in liver enzymes. And the thought, again, was because of the metabolism of the drug in the liver that maybe there was some interaction between the FUDR that was causing mild but subclinical irritation in the liver, and then adding the capecitabine enhanced that. And that was one reason that we reduced the dose from 1,000 milligrams twice a day down to 850 milligrams twice a day. Beyond that, we really didn't see any increase in things such as neutropenia, with the belief that very little of the FUDR gets out into the systemic circulation. And because we're giving a 2 week infusion of FUDR followed by a 1 week break and then went on to the capecitabine oxaliplatin for 2 weeks, 1 week break, there was a long lag between the systemic therapies. And that may justify the current CO9 design. But beyond maybe some mild increase in liver enzymes, we really didn't see any other apparent synergistic toxicities between the two treatments.
Can you talk about the FOLFOX cetuximab study you're doing?
The FOLFOX cetuximab study was designed with the idea that, one, there was some concern about the use of an anti-angiogenic agent in a setting where somebody might be going to surgery, particularly liver surgery, and two, that there was early but promising data from some ongoing phase 2 trials looking at the combination of FOLFOX and cetuximab showing remarkable response rates in the range of 70 to 80%. The hope was that if we could use something that led to a fairly rapid response rate, we could get somebody to surgery relatively quickly. At the time that we had designed this, the thought process was you want to achieve a fairly quick response just to enhance the likelihood of going to surgery versus a slow progressive change. But I think in hindsight, what we've also learned, that there is an increasing recognition that the longer patients stay on 5-FU oxaliplatin, the more likely they are to develop underlying liver disease with steatosis or steatohepatitis. Using a response modifier like cetuximab, if you can achieve a response more rapidly, hopefully you can get somebody to surgery before they begin to have any underlying liver problems.
I'm curious what your thoughts are about panitumumab.
With the data that's available, it appears that panitumumab will be a reasonable alternative to cetuximab. Right now, there's nothing to say that it would be an inferior treatment, and the main potential benefits to it would be, one, that it's fully humanized, so it should limit or greatly lessen likelihood of an infusion reaction, and two, it's used every 2 weeks. One of the problems that we've run into with our adjuvant trial for resected stage 3 colon cancer that uses FOLFOX with or without cetuximab has been apparent reluctance of patients to come in for that off-week cetuximab infusion. Panitumumab certainly would help lessen the time of the patients in the office getting their treatment, as well as remove that potential infusion reaction risk.
Is what you're seeing to this point encouraging enough to give you kind of second thoughts about the cetuximab FOLFOX trial you're doing?
I think if there were an easy way to substitute panitumumab that would make it more convenient for the patient, I don't think we would be concerned that we would be altering the potential benefits of treatment. Obviously, we've made a commitment to assessing cetuximab in that setting. And while certainly one has to be careful about comparing two agents without clinical trial data to support that comparison, my belief would be that if we show that FOLFOX plus cetuximab is truly a more active, superior regimen to FOLFOX alone, many people will probably adopt that approach but substitute panitumumab or a similar agent that can be given every 2 weeks versus the weekly cetuximab.